All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight. I'm sort of prepared. I really thought the Gideons were going to be here to make a presentation and to speak tonight, but I was wrong. And I started once when I left home just to bring my Bible with me, and that was it. But anyway, we're here. And you're watching online. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online to Waldo Baptist Church. Brother Nate Martin's our pastor. I'm the senior adult pastor and glad to be here with you this evening. And we welcome you to our Bible study time. We're in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as we have been for a couple of sessions. And what we're really looking at tonight is spiritual gifts. And that are the Lord gives by the Holy Spirit and are absolutely necessary for the unity of the body of Christ and for us to function as God has called us to. And so that's what we're going to be studying about tonight. And really, if I'd have known I was teaching tonight, I'd have went over everything again this afternoon before I came. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We're here, you're here, and we're glad to be here. And so for those that didn't come, they'll be surprised. But maybe some of them will be watching online anyway. But we're glad you're here tonight as well. And so we're going to be, first of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you because you are an almighty sovereign God. From everlasting to everlasting, you do not change. We are so grateful that you don't. We're so thankful, Father, that you reached out into the darkness of our world and our lives and called us into light and give us a heart to respond to you and saved us by your marvelous grace. So, Father, we come before you with thanksgiving, with love, and Lord, we just want to honor you, and we pray as we teach tonight in the Word of God that we'll do it with clarity and humility and, Lord, with truth. And, Lord, that we not only have our ears open to the Word, but also our minds and hearts, that we might receive the Word as it is, the Word of God. And, Father, we thank you for this perfect treasure you've given us in your Word, that we can take it into our minds and hearts. And Lord, we can have a sure foundation that we stand on that does not waver or change because you loved us enough to reveal yourself to us. And not only reveal yourself, but reveal who we really are, that we might know who we are as we read the Word of God. Bless our sick and hurting. We pray that you might raise them up according to your will. Bless those that have lost loved ones. We pray that you might comfort them and, Lord, that you might watch over them. Be with the caregivers that care for those that are sick and hurting and injured, and we pray for them as well. We pray for those that are watching online, that if there's anyone that's watching that has never repented of their sins and placed their faith in the finished work of Christ for their salvation, that this might be the time that the Spirit of God reaches out to them. We thank you, Father, for so great a salvation. And Father, we ask you to bless those that hear and even those that aren't here tonight. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. As we've been studying in the book of 1 Peter, and let me read the 4th chapter and the 10th verse. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. As we have taught on this and looked at this together, and if you've been watching online, there's some things that we need to realize. It is that the Spirit gives the gift, and we talked about each person that is born again, that is truly saved, has received spiritual gifts or gifts from the Lord through the Holy Spirit at the time of conversion. At the time we are born again by the grace of God, there are certain things that God has gifted us in for the purpose not only of the unity of the body of Christ, but that the body of Christ might be edified and built up. And every person within that body is as important as any other person. All of us have been called to glorify God and to serve one another. No matter who we are, we've been called to glorify God, serve one another within the body of Christ. And so it takes every one of us. It takes every one of us, no matter who we are, whether we've been saved for a week or whether we've been saved for 10 years, we have gifts that God has given us to make the body of Christ function the way that He has called it to function. And as we mentioned this morning, and I've seen it throughout my ministry, is that when we talk about the church and we talk about spiritual gifts and edifying the church and glorifying God, we're talking about local New Testament churches that God puts together within the body of Christ in a local area. I have seen it in my ministry for over 40-something years now, that God puts all the pieces together within the body of Christ for the purpose of serving one another and glorifying Himself, so that that church might become exactly what He called it to be, and that it might grow because of that. And we're not just talking about growing numerically. We're talking about growing spiritually within the body of Christ. And when you think about it, the gift of service or the gift of mercy is just as important as the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching, because if everybody taught, who would learn? If everybody taught, who would serve? And so it takes everybody. And I was thinking about this on a driving over here. We have some men in our church that are really, God has placed them there, and they really do well at what God has called them to do. And that's the deacons in our church. And Brother Kevin and Brother John back here are two of them. And because they have been called to serve. And so as they serve within the body of Christ, that helps strengthen, unify, and edify and build the church into what God wants it to be. I know in my past ministry and in Nate's ministry as well, that was so important to me in my ministry, was to have those men serving, working together in the body of Christ, have them praying for me, and us meeting together. And when we were of like mind and like heart, and we had everything together, then we could see God work through that to accomplish what He wanted to accomplish. Not necessarily what we wanted to accomplish, what He wanted to accomplish within the church itself and in the future itself. And so there's three things very important that we've mentioned over and over again, and that is there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God works all things in all persons. And we say it over and over again, but it is the Spirit that gives the gift, the Lord that gives the ministry, and God that works the effects. And so as we think about, and these gifts that God has given us, and I mentioned this to Nate this morning, and I talked about it in my Sunday school class this morning when we were studying about this. I said that Brother Nate is a much better teacher than I am, that he goes deeper into the Word. Brother Nate and I are different. We are alike in a lot of ways, but we are different in important ways too. This man can lock himself up in a room with books and study and study and study and be as happy as he can be and be completely satisfied. You lock me up in a room for as long as he stays in the room, I would be hysterical. Somebody would have to come get me out. That's the way God has gifted him. So what does that mean? That means that in the Scriptures and in the doctrine of the Scriptures, he goes even deeper than I do. I know he's getting ready to preach this series on the covenants. Did I preach about the covenants? Yes, but not as deep as he goes. And so that's something very good, something very important. So I told him a while ago, I said, I'm more like John the Baptist. I'm more like John the Baptist. Unless you repent, you're going to hell. That's Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's about as well as I can put it. And he is much more on the teaching side of that. And that's a good thing. Because this is what I told him. And if you folks listening online, let me say this to you. If you want to go to a church that is grounded in the absolute truth of the doctrine and the Word of God and go deeper into the Word than you ever have before, Waldo Baptist Church is a place for you. Because our pastor, he goes deep. I mean, I'm talking about somebody, I've been in the ministry for almost 50 years, and I'm learning things from him. And that's exciting to me. I like to learn. I know who God is. I know I'm saved. I know what the Word of God says, but I like to go even deeper. Because to me, the better you know who God really is. And I've always said this, and I mean it with all my heart. Most people have an idea of who God is that they have made up in their own mind. Not the God that has revealed himself to us through Scripture. And so they really don't know. They don't understand two things. They don't understand really who God is, and they don't really understand who they are. And the only way they will is through the Word of God. That's the only way they will, is through the Word of God. And so the deeper you go into the Word of God, and that's what's so wonderful about it, is about the time you think you know everything, God reveals something else to you. And it is an exciting truth that he has given you in the Word itself. And so I appreciate him. I appreciate his teaching so much. And this church is on a solid rock in the Word of God, and something that I'm enjoying very much. And when we talk about spiritual gifts, I was thinking about Kevin and John as they serve here in the church and as they serve the people here in the church. Someone that has a heart for service has a heart for people. You've got to have a heart for people. You've got to care about them. When I talked about Diana Swinford this morning, how when Kay was really down, she and others brought food to our house. We got cards from them all the time. All of this call to see how we were doing. She has a gift of mercy. She empathizes with people. She goes past sympathizing. She actually feels what they feel. She has a gift of mercy and a gift. I was thinking about Sheila McNichols, and I was thinking about Bonnie Dodge. They have a gift to serve. They have a gift to serve. You see Sheila McNichols out here on her knees in the flower bed trimming hedges. That's because she has a heart to serve. She has a heart to serve the people. She has a heart to serve the Lord. Bonnie Dodge has a heart to serve the Lord and the people as well. You see it in they decorate. You see it. Let me say this, and I know I'm kind of rambling tonight, but there's some things I really want to say. When someone calls you and gives you a gift to serve, those are the people that walk into the church and see the church outside and inside, and they see the needs. I might walk in and I don't see the needs. They walk in, they see the needs. And they are led to respond to the needs at that point. And so God puts people in the church, they can see the needs of the church. And they are called to serve, and they're so important in the church. They're so important that the church is built up and edified, and that it grows strong as God has called it to. Okay, so let me get off my bandwagon. I want to read you what W.A. Criswell says about spiritual gifts. Now, in my time as a young pastor in the ministry, when I was Nate's age, W.A. Criswell was one of my heroes in the faith. And I've been to his church there in Dallas, and I've heard him preach many times at the Southern Baptist Convention. And when I grew up in the ministry, it was the battle for the Bible that was going on, the inerrancy of Scripture. And I attended the Southern Baptist Convention with 50,000 delegates making sure to vote and to carry out the inerrancy of Scripture, and that would never change. And so W.A. Criswell was one of the leaders in that battle at that time of the inerrancy in Scripture. And I have several books by him, Great Doctrines of the Bible by W.A. Criswell. And this is what he says. Any spiritual gift is bestowed by God. Man cannot achieve it. It is given from heaven. The Lord intends for us to be instructed and taught concerning spiritual gifts. An individual has nothing to do with his gender. Think about that. God does that. Man has nothing to do with whether he was born 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 30 years ago. God determines that. Neither do we choose our parents. God does that. Practically everything in life is directed and framed by the sovereign election of God. Now, when you really stop and think about that, you realize how true that is. You realize how true that really is. I did not have a choice of when I would be born, where I would be born, to whom I would be born to, where I would live, and all of these things that we don't think about sometimes. By the way, there's only two genders on the face of the earth, and that's man and woman. That's the way God made it. Okay, now he goes on to say about this. He said, practically everything in life is directed and framed by the sovereign election of God. We love to think that we accomplish these things, but actually we do very little. About the only thing a man can do is to yield his life to the sovereign purpose of God. To yield his life to the sovereign purpose of God. And I would say this, that cannot happen unless God saves him. That cannot happen unless God calls him out of darkness into light. And so, as I look at my own life, and sometimes we have to look to the past to understand the future. And as I look at my own life, and I see where I was before and where God has brought me to, my brothers and sisters, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's nothing about me. It's all about what God has done. Not anything that I have accomplished or that I have done. And as I look at it, I'm looking at a walking, breathing miracle. Because salvation in itself is a miracle. Being born from above. And to see how God has worked in my life to bring me from where I was to where I am now, I have nothing to boast about except God. And I have thanksgiving in my heart because of who He is and what He's done, because I understand who I am. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. And when you think about that, that is what motivates you. That is what motivates you to serve, to love, and to go on doing what God has called you to do. It is the grace of God that has saved you and changed your life and brought you to where you are. You realize it has nothing to do with what you've done. It's all about Him and what He's done in your life and through you. So in these spiritual gifts that God has given us, each one of us, as we said, is like a snowflake. We're all different. Thank God. Can you imagine if you were all like Kevin McNichols? How awful that would be. So when we think about that, we realize that God has made us that way on purpose. Because each of us is different. Each of us has our different gifts, and each of us fit and serve within the body of Christ as He has placed us, as He has ordained. And that's a wonderful thing to know. I'm going to read some more from Criswell here because I like what he says. He says, "Then the apostle avowed the same thing concerning the grace gifts. They are from God. They are sovereignly bestowed. They are diversified. An individual may have a spiritual gift. Another has a different gift. Still another may have several. Each one of us has a different grace gift chosen by God and fitted for us. That the spiritual gifts and grace gifts of God," and I'm going to just touch on this. "The spiritual gifts and the grace gifts of God have been overshadowed by extremism and fanaticism and by abuse and excess is a sadness and tragedy." And that is true. That is true. Because some people have taken that and made it into something that it is not. That it is not. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who believe in speaking in ecstatic tongues, not languages, but tongues, that is no language, misinterpret what happened on the day of Pentecost and misinterpret what God is talking about. Anywhere in Scripture you find the word tongues used, it's talking about a known language, not some ecstatic language that no one knows, not some speaking that no one can understand. And that's where many have gone wrong in looking at and talking about and teaching about spiritual gifts. And so that's about all I'll say about that. But it is so important. It is so important that each one of us, and we talked about this scripture this morning over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, and I will read verse starting in the 27th verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This chapter is one of the main emphasis and chapters on spiritual gifts itself. And in verse 27 of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles. We know that the apostolic time and age has passed. There are no apostles in the world in which we live today. They aren't needed because the church has been established. We have the Word of God. We have a sure word from God. The church has been established. So no longer do we need apostles because of that. And so he goes on to say, as we look at the scripture here, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets. And we said prophets is not so much about foretelling as it is about forthtelling. It is about taking the Word of God and communicating the Word of God as God has given it and revealed it to us, and doing it such a way that it is communicated to the people in such a way that they are edified and God is glorified. And so when we think about the gift of prophecy, that's one of the areas that we're talking about there in all of this. And we have, and are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. When we talk about working miracles, there were a time during the apostles, there were a time during the New Testament when we see miracles actually being done. I mean great miracles, like the blind being healed, the lame walking, and different things of that nature for a great reason. It is that they might understand the Word of God was true. They might understand God has sent His Son, the Messiah, in reality, and they must understand the working and the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And so all these things, God was laying down a bedrock, if you will, a foundation as He worked through these miracles, that the word of the apostles might be believed, that they might be accepted, that it might be taught, that it might be stood upon. And He was laying the foundation for all that through the miracles that were worked by Christ and the apostles in the New Testament as we looked at that. There is no one today, I have seen no one on this planet today that can walk through Baptist Hospital and heal everyone there. It's not going to happen. It is not needful. Does God sometimes heal? Absolutely. Through prayer, I believe in the heal. I believe God can heal anyone He chooses. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That is not going to change until Christ comes. Until Christ comes. So when we talk about the gifts of healing, now I will say this, in talking with my brother Paul Warsher, he has seen it happen once or twice in places in Peru where the Word of God had not quite reached the way it had in other places. And he has told me about these instances. And so, can it happen? Yes. And I've always said this, you cannot draw a circle around a sovereign God and say, you cannot do this. But it is not necessary today. We do not see it today because of that. Okay, what does he go on to say? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues or language? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And the greater gifts, are, as he would list them here, are the gift of prophesying and the gift of teaching. Now, what we said this morning was this. If we take this in context of everything that he said here in chapter 12 in the book of 1 Corinthians, when he says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, he's not talking about individuals seeking. There went my eyes. He's not talking about individuals. Thank you, Bill. He's not talking about individuals seeking. Everybody wants to preach or everybody wants to teach. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when the church is gathered together. When the church is gathered together. That the church should desire these gifts to be carried out. The gift of preaching. The gift of teaching. That they would be part of the service. That they would be the ones that are desired by the congregation, by the body of Christ, in a great way. This is what he's talking about here. As I understand it, and I've read different thoughts on this scripture here, because some people have been misled to think, well, everybody should desire to have the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when the body of Christ is gathered together, the body of Christ should desire preaching from the Word. The main thing, and this is the thing that we have to remember, church, your Christian life, your faith, your witness, no matter what we talk about, it's all built upon the Word of God. It's all built upon the Word of God. And so these are the things we should desire when we come together and we meet together as the body of Christ, that these gifts are exercised in the body of Christ because they're absolutely necessary to feed the church and to feed the people that it might become what God intended for it to be. And so I wanted to share that before we went on from there. Okay. Now, spiritual gifts are a gift of grace, just like we've read. Thinking about the nature of spiritual gifts, they're given by God. They are a gift from God. It is undeserved. It is unearned. It is free. It is given by God the Holy Spirit. And so these are things that we see. Now, I would say this, and I think I can show you that in Scripture, but these gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Energized by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I know myself. I can't speak for you, but I know about myself. I have come into the Lord's house feeling down, feeling sick, injured. I have preached with every kind of ailment known to man. But I will tell you this. When I sat in this pew up here and the people begin to sing and the Spirit of God began to move, I was energized and I had strength and I had a will that I did not have when I walked in. And this is absolutely true. This is just the Lord. This is just the Lord. How He worked. And so the gifts that we have. I know all of you. John Morris over here. He does the online. Has to be a gift because he's not very smart. I love you, brother. Has to be a gift because he's not very smart. So he serves. He serves with ability and the gifts that God has given him. And what if we didn't have David? What if we didn't have John? What if we didn't have these people that God has sent into the body of Christ? What if we didn't have Bill? What if we didn't have Lori? What if we didn't have these other people that God has brought into the body of Christ to serve. Just think about your church. And I've illustrated it many times, but if you know, if part of the body is missing, part of the church is missing. If someone that is born again, that has these gifts that God has given them, isn't here and isn't serving, I know sometimes we can't be, and there's many times that we just impossible for us to be, but if we can be, part of the church is missing. And part of what God is doing is missing. And so each person is so important. And if you're watching online and you're not able to come and gather with us in worship and in studying the Word, and you watch online, I say God bless you. Because your prayers and your service in prayer is just as important to us as if you, we would rather you were be able to be here, but you cannot be able to hear. Your prayers is what carries us, and your prayers is what God uses to help build this church into what He wants it to be. So you keep on watching, you keep on praying, you keep on listening, and allow God to use you in the gifts that He's given you as well. And I think about so many people that aren't able to come there. Okay, so the nature of the gift, it is motivated by the grace of God, given sovereignly by a sovereign God, freely to every believer, controlled by the Holy Spirit, and these are the things that we see. Now then, I have some other things. I see I got 3 minutes. What is a spiritual gift? It is graciously, freely given. The mode of ministry, and each one of us have our own ministries that God has placed us in. No matter who we are, He's gifted you. He has a way for you to serve. Okay. And capacity, spiritual capacity for ministry in the body of Christ. It is a spiritual gift. It is a God-given capacity through which the Holy Spirit supernaturally uses you to minister to the body. He has called us to serve one another in the body of Christ. That's what we're here for, to serve one another. That's why in a few minutes the youth are going to come in. And we're going to gather together and we're going to pray together. Because they're just as important as anybody in here as well. And so we serve one another. They need to know we love them. They need to know we care about them. They need to know that we appreciate them. They need to know that they have a place in the body of Christ that is just as important as Nate or myself or anybody else, because God has placed them here. And so when we think about that, that's the way God builds His church. Now, we said this morning that what we're talking about is not a human talent, although a human talent can be amplified and used by God Himself to serve and to glorify Himself, because that's the way He works. So I've got a couple of things I want to say because I got 1 minute. Okay, first of all, what is really important in our life? First of all, the vertical relationship. My relationship with God is the most important thing in my life as a born-again believer and a child of God. It is that my relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is correct. It is right as I stand before God. The second thing is that my relationship with Henry and Bill and John and Noah and Matthew and Judy and Janice and Jason and Kevin and John and Lisa and Nate, that my relationship with them is right. When my relationship with one of them isn't right, there's a short circuit in the body. The body can't function the way God intends for it to be. If I know that I have said something that hurt Noah, then my relationship in the body won't be right until I go to Noah find out what it is and say, "Brother, I'm sorry." Then God, the Spirit of God working through each of us, we're just like a conduit. And when that conduit is fractured by a short circuit, brothers and sisters, we have to learn to forgive one another. We have to learn to forgive one. If Christ forgave us, you say, "Well, you don't know what they..." I know what they did to Christ. We have to learn to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Because our relationship to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and our relationship horizontal to one another opens up the conduit for God to work through the spiritual gifts He's given us in the Holy Spirit to become what He saved us to be and to build the church into what He wants it to be. And so those things are really important in our life as a born-again believer and a child of God. And we're going to cut it off there, David, because